Hold on, we'll give it a minute here to go. Just once again, just double check, make sure my mic is actually being recorded this time, like it should be. Yep. All right. Cool. Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 185 of the Super Weapon Podcast, most overpowered podcast on the internet. It's your boy Darius the Artist, and as always, I got my co-host DC here with me today.
What up, though? It's your favorite know-it-all who knows nothing at all. And today, I am actually very, very excited to talk about this game today, even though I believe me and you both, we discussed off camera, we both had, you know, pretty rough week or around the board, to say the least. But we're not bringing none of that energy here today, because I'm very, very, very excited to talk about Ninja Theory and the Hellblade series, man. I'm really pumped up about this. So I just want to jump in and let you do your thing, but I'm excited, man. How about you?
It was a very shitty week for the both of us. Excuse my language, bad week. He's gonna bleep that out for you too, but I just have to say, you know, I'm glad it's Saturday. You know, it's happy to be here. It was a little bit of a lighter week, and then, you know, but fortunately, you know, Xbox did bless us with this Hellblade 2. I want to say it was kind of like a preview. You know, they let some journalists and I think some YouTubers and stuff get their hands on the game, because the game actually comes out May 21st, which is incredibly close, and I actually forgot all about this game. But just like you said, I'm excited nonetheless, man. I know a lot of people didn't really get a chance to play the first game, where it kind of snuck under the radar, and it had like a pretty tight knit, close, you know, cult following. Myself included, like, I played through most of the game. I didn't beat it. I need to go back and finish the game, but I did enjoy the game itself. And we've talked about Hellblade here on the podcast plenty of times before, and I assume you are a fan of Ninja Theory as well, because you played the game too, right? And you actually completed it, right?
Yes, and I'm gonna I don't think I'm close. I need to finish it as well. And that is not to say anything bad about the game. If you know me, I am a habitual halfway through-er, and then I start something else. And yeah, I need to buckle. It was on my backlog. It was one of the games, because I'm trying to figure out what to play after Cyberpunk. So I think I'm going to go ahead and knock that out, because it's not really a long game. You could probably knock it out.
Right.
Probably about a week or two. And that's like if you're pacing it. Yeah. If you really want to sit down and just, you could start a Saturday morning, probably end it Saturday. Like, it's not really a long game. But with part two being around the corner, obviously I do want to finish it, because I think it's going to be a day one for me. I think Hellblade is definitely going to be a day one buy and play, or I believe it's on Game Pass. So whatever.
Yeah, it'll be Game Pass day one, which is another added incentive to try the game out. I mean, and just like you mentioned, yeah, the game's only around 6 to 8 hours long, if I remember from what I looked at. So the first game's not super long. And they even kind of came out this week, and we're going to kind of talk about the gameplay and everything as well. But, you know, they came out and said that the second game is going to be of a similar length. So I would imagine the game's probably going to sit somewhere between 7 to 10 hours at the most. Especially from the preview, you know, the game definitely looks like it's focused more on continuing to tell Senua's story and kind of keep, you know, moving through what she's just been kind of experiencing and everything. And it just, you know, that's something I kind of wanted to talk to you about too, because I know people had or have very high expectations for the game, because we've seen this game on and off for the last couple of years. You know, everyone was kind of touting this as being the, you know, answer to the God of Wars, The Last of Us.
That was me.
You know, yeah. I think we all did that, you know, not knowing much about the game. But now that we kind of are starting to get the full picture of it, you know, with it, like I said, with it being a shorter game, it seems like, but that doesn't mean, in my opinion, I think it's going to be shallow in terms of anything. But, you know, I'm actually all for it. I don't know about you though, man. How do you kind of feel about that?
Well, I think that With any Xbox release, there's the weight of the world on their shoulders to be a good game. You know what I'm saying? So, with that being said, I don't know. Like, as I did more research on Ninja Theory, I just want to say that they easily probably slid up to in my top five studios.
Okay.
And there, the reason why I said that, I don't want to get too into it, but you guys go watch. They have a diary series on YouTube for the first Hellblade, and I think if you watch through all 30 parts, they're only 5 minutes a piece, so don't get too worried. But it's 30 parts; they're about 5 to 6 minutes a piece. And if you really want to see what goes on behind the scenes, the making of a game, the stress that they have to go through, like it really breaks this stuff down. And I think that's where my appreciation for Ninja Theory comes from. Because with
Yeah.
this game, they have a small development team of like 20 people. The person who did, for example, the person who did the whole environment, like all the backgrounds to every level, layer, whatever, it was only one person. Now, if you look at a triple A title in studio, that's usually about 20 people in itself, probably 20 plus just for the environment. They had one person doing this. They're a
Yeah, I
small
think
team of 20.
I was gonna say, yeah, it was just 20 people for the first
Yeah, it
game,
was just
yeah.
20 people total. And when you look at this diary series on YouTube, it shows you how each person contributed, the work they had to do. Like, people don't realize like how tedious and hard. Like, they were working in Maya. When was the last time you heard or used Maya since like college, right?
Yeah, me personally, yeah, Autodesk. I mean, I think the thing that and I'm glad you brought up the documentary series, man, because that those are my honestly my favorite things about watching, seeing how a game is made, and just there's so many good ones out there, man. And, there's one with God of War. I think it was called Dad of War for the Sony Santa Monica, the first game, and there's a series for The Last of Us. I just think it's really cool that you get to see like these retrospectives. And yeah, I mean, I would consider them like an indie-ish style studio. Ninja Theory's been around for a number of years, but they've always really kind of stuck to their guns and made the things that they've wanted to make. And I think Hellblade 2 is gonna be, I think it's gonna be one of those games that it's going to play really well. I think the story that it's trying to tell is going to come across really well. I mean, I just want to say, like, first of all, man, the game is beautiful. Like, we can, I really do want to talk, because you did mention Maya. I do want to talk about like Unreal Engine 5 and just how far I think games are really starting. Like, I think we're starting to hit that point where you're starting to see truly like next gen graphics. And because we're just watching like the gameplay and the lighting and everything in the game, and just everything from
Oh,
like
the
the
lighting.
fire to the mood that they're trying to portray with the story that they're telling in the game. It just, it's not often that a game will bring me in like that. Like, it really made me want to play. I'm right there with you. Like, this is definitely gonna be a day one play, and this month,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? So
And just for another like example, because you said lighting, like that's another thing. Like, man, the documentary touches on so much, and they touch on one of the things is, setting up. Got something in my eye. Another thing that they touch on is setting up lights like in a 3D space and how difficult it could be to
right.
do that and make it realistic, like realistic reflections, like you said, the fire and stuff. If you guys just it really gives you appreciation for how games are made. And I believe if we pumped out more documentaries and stuff like this, then maybe, just maybe, people would be a little more patient
Yeah.
with game developers, you know what I mean? Because,
Especially triple A, man. Yeah.
they talked about the press run they had to go on. They had to create graphics for the press run and how, it was difficult for them like to create that, because you got to remember, like, this team is only 20 people doing all this stuff. So It's a amazing documentary. It definitely just really made me really appreciate Ninja Theory and what they put into this game.
Yeah.
The first one, and you can kind of tell where, and this is not like a shot, but you can tell in spaces when you play the game in certain parts where you may consider it lacking something, right?
Yeah.
But then when you watch that, you kind of understand why. Like, okay, well, you know, they had this to do this. So like I said, one person doing the whole level design, that's insane. So it kind of gives you a little more grace when you're playing a game. So you won't be like, oh, well, why is this like this? Blah, blah, blah. Like, and one person can only do so much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's kind of why I said what I said, right? Like, I think that, you know, people hear the length of the game, you know, with them saying the game's going to be comparable to the first game, they probably are thinking like, oh, well, this, you know, the people who've never played the first one will probably think that they're just going to get a short game that's not going to be super fulfilling anyway. Or I kind of think it's the opposite, man. Like, I think we could end up with something that is incredibly detailed in the compact time they're trying to tell something. You know what I mean? Especially with them being back with Microsoft at this point, you know, and they have been for a number of years now, man. I think this is the game that they wanted to make 100% through and through. And, you know, I mean, like, we can even start talking about, like, the combat stuff and the gameplay. I think that's the thing that really kind of impressed me the most about the sequel is, you know, because you're really kind of stuck with this one-on-one combat, you know, this very deliberate. I don't want to necessarily call it Soulsborne, but everything that I read from IGN and all the other people who played the game, they mentioned that the game is not easy, that, you know, combat is very difficult.
Because it's supposed to be like realistic, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be more of a realistic take on combat. And then you got to understand that the main character is, even though she's like kind of from this warrior tribe or whatever, she's not necessarily versed in combat.
Right.
So as you traverse through the story, and that's why you got to like play part one, because it'll kind of explain all this in part one, right? And there's two different, I'm trying to watch my words because I don't like, okay, well, I don't think it's a spoiler. The game's been out long enough, but, you know, she hears voices and stuff, and I want to see how that's going to play out.
We could definitely talk about the mental health aspect of it. I mean, that's something that they highlight a lot with her, with just her character in general. I mean,
psychosis. And,
yeah. I would definitely recommend people play the game with headphones on. I mean,
get some good headphones and play.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll
because
freak yourself out.
You really do start to kind of hear the whispers, like almost kind of like someone, you know, if you're watching the live version, I'm like trying to touch my own shoulder. You're almost kind of like hearing someone whisper like right here over your neck, and it gives you like the, you know, hair stands on you. Because I wouldn't necessarily call it a horror game, but I think
it is creepy.
There's a lot of like visual misdirection, a lot of, you know, illusions, because she's going through something in the game. She's on a pilgrimage of sorts in the first game. That's, you know, as much as I'll say. But yeah, I'm glad you definitely brought that up. Yeah, 100%.
The thing is, if you played part one, it's more of a thing that seems her psychosis seems to hinder her, because in these times, it's not called psychosis. She thinks she has a curse.
Yeah.
She's like not medically, you know, there's no clinical term for it or nothing.
Something very, you know, bad happened to her. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah. She thinks that, you know, she's cursed. And the thing is, what they made it seem like from just piecing stuff together, if you play the game, it goes from like a curse to, I wonder in part two, will she use it to help her? Because it seems like she's learning to live with the voices. Like, it's kind of crazy. So I want to see in part two,
that's a good point. Yeah.
Where does the her psychosis take her on part two?
Where, like, is it? What's the state of her mental at this point?
Yeah. Where is she mentally? You know what I'm saying? Because at the end, it hints toward the end of part one, it kind of hints toward her embracing.
That's what I was gonna say. It definitely looks like she's at the point now, because I mean, even like in the preview, all the trailers we've seen, it looks like she's like leading a team, either searching for someone or, you know, they're traveling to a destination. And she's definitely a little bit more lucid in a lot of those crazier moments. And I mean, I think like with that, you know, mixed in with the combat of the game, I mean, because the game, like I say, looks like you're going to have to be very deliberate with your swings, with your blocking. Like the game's going to, you know,
it looks heavy.
Reward and punish you for the decisions you make in fighting. And I mean, because, you know, they kind of referenced that one fight in that village where you're just fighting people back to back to back. Like, no break in between. She's just, you know, probably just tired and everything. Like, it looks really good, man. I don't know. Like, that.
It looked like there's some sort of stamina. Like, it looked like.
Yeah.
If I was just throwing something out there, it kind of looked like stamina is going to play a part in the game. Because I like the way that they make it seem like she's just not this overbearing.
Right.
Can beat up 1,000 people and not break a sweat. Like, you know, like a Kratos or. And that's not. To compare to Sony or anything, but you know, it just seems like
she has
a moment of just being tired.
I mean, there's definitely like that over the shoulder, of course. Like, you got that same kind of camera angle, but I think like their combat seems like an evolution of, you know, the first game, which is always good to see. And I mean, they still have the same voice actress, I believe, doing the motion capture and everything, which I think kind of gives it like a sense of realism too, which is just, I think that kind of stuff, you know, where you have this, like I said, you have this smaller packaged game, you know, that's going to probably be incredibly rich in the gameplay experience and the storytelling. I think that's, so I'm all for it, which, you know, brings my next question, man. We know this is going to be on Game Pass, of course, day one. But that begs, like, you know, the real question, because I'm assuming this is going to hit Steam as well at some point. And potentially PlayStation consoles, you never know, right?
Because it originally started off on PlayStation.
Like, I just wonder what the price of this game is going to be. You know, I think some people will probably take issue with
I don't think it's going to be full price.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, if the game's like 60 or 70 bucks, I think something between 40 to 60 sounds about right. You know, even if they could hit like that $50 mark, I think that's fine, especially with, like I said, the level of detail that you're getting in the game. I mean, they even mentioned the game's, you know, that the game's going to hit 30 frames. You know, it's going to stay at 30 frames on Xbox, which is fine. I know a lot of people are going to be disappointed about that. What are you going to play it on? Are you thinking about playing it on the Series X, or are you going to hit it on PC?
It's time to knock the dust off the Series X, man.
Okay, I like that, actually.
Because a lot of games, like, now that I have a capture card, I feel like it'd take a little stress off my computer. I only have a one PC set up. Uh-huh. So, you know how that goes, man. You're trying to, like, record games and that do is, all that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great idea, man. I think.
Yeah, so I feel like, you know, if I can get it on my Series X and, you know, run it through the capture card and capture it, then I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely be getting on a Series X. And they even explain some of the things that you just talked about, like in that diary, like why they went with the over the shoulder view. They break down like why they did that and stuff. Man, I can't stress it enough. I want to see more games do these kind of like docuseries as they're making the game. I think it's really interesting, and I really do believe that it will kind of tone down some of the aggressiveness of consumers. We need this, we have this, blah, blah, blah. It really breaks it down.
And I really hope the game does well, too, from that standpoint, because it could show other developers and the rest of the industry that You can still have this AAA style game, you know, all the bells and whistles, graphical quality, fidelity, you know, everything that you think that you wanted to put in, you're able to, and still be able to sell it in a smaller package. You know, it doesn't have to be a 100-hour adventure. It doesn't have to be this 50-hour, you know, semi-open world game. You know what I mean? Like,
they explain all that too.
Yeah,
because they want to label this series as an independent AAA gaming, where you get that AAA quality from an independent studio. So that's what they're kind of aiming for. And they even said it, even with the price points, right? They was like, hey, if we could sell it at this price point, because on the back end, since we did everything indie, you know, all that money comes back to us. So for them to break even, it is not as much as it would be for like another triple, a true, or if that's what you want to call it, a true AAA title that had like a $1 billion budget. They don't have to worry about making all that back. So, yeah, I think what they're creating here, this it can be a game-changing situation if you kind of look at it, right?
Yeah, I think like, so, man. I mean, look at where the industry is, man, and how bad things are with layoffs and you know, game projects getting canceled. I mean, hell, man, look at the state of Suicide Squad right now. Like, that game here, let me
on top of that, did you hear about the hackers?
Yeah, that are taking stuff that's not even supposed to be out yet. Hold on, Suicide.
That might be the nail in the coffin, bro. I'm not going to lie to you.
No, the nail in the coffin was the Joker release, man. It's, hold on, Suicide Squad.
Well, if that was the nail in the coffin, this is the coffin getting put in the dirt.
I think the game had like under 100 people playing it on Steam at one point.
It was 65.
Yeah. Like,
it was literally 65 people playing this game, and this game just came out. What, a month ago?
Yeah, it came out like early February. And this is my point. Like, you know, you have studios that are going to swing at, you know, at things like live service and stuff. But I think games like Hellblade 2 are really going to start to be the, I don't want to say the norm, but I hope this is what studios kind of start gravitating towards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that'll give people more time to enjoy these things. Or, you know, I don't want to play 200-hour open world games again. You know, I don't want to have to play 3 or 4 of those a year. That's how I got burned out last time playing those.
Right, exactly. If you have something small and concise and done well,
yeah,
I believe you don't have to do that. Like, I think they're, you know, I like to think big in situations like this, right? I really think Ninja Theory can literally break the mold with the success of this game. And I truly do believe that this game is going to be successful, man. It
I do too, man. I think it's going to review well. You know, that's going to be a big thing. I know for a lot of people, that number means something. And, you know, maybe that will start to kind of shift the narrative of what people feel like.
And people love
Microsoft does. Mythology. Yeah, you know, it, that's very true too. I mean, you look at God of War and how successful that's been with the whole Nord, and I think that I like that they're taking it from the more supernatural angle than what God of War is doing. Like, I like that the games, like I said, I don't really call it a horror game, but there is some scary stuff in the game, man. Some stuff got me. I ain't gonna
lie. It's creepy, man. It's creepy. It's a creepy game. It wasn't meant to be a horror game, but here we are, right? It's like, it's crazy. Yeah. And the story is not that hard to keep up with. For anyone who didn't play part one, this is a slight spoiler. I won't say too much, but basically she's on a journey to release, I think, what is it? Like, release her dead lover's soul from Hella or something. It's something like that.
Yeah, she's on a pilgrimage, and yeah.
And it explains it in the game as you play. There's cutscenes that really break it down, because like my first time playing it, I was just like, I was kind of confused. But especially if you're into like Norse mythology, you'll definitely understand what's going on if that's your bag. Me, I'm not well versed in it, so it took me a minute to get it. But there's a decent story there, and I feel like with part two, it's going to get better. I feel like part two will be a true upgrade from part one. And I also wonder, like, since they're under Microsoft, did Microsoft like give them a hand, or did they kind of just like, hey, take your 20-man team and continue to do what you do?
Well, the team expanded to 80 people. Like, their studio's gotten larger because they're working on another game besides this. It's called Project Mara. That game looks like it's going to be a horror game. And it looks like the only thing we've seen of that is just kind of like this teaser from like 2 or 3 years ago. So there's no release date on that. I don't suspect we'll see that this generation. I mean, it's taken Ninja Theory a while to work on this, right? Like, let's just be completely honest, right? And I think that being, you know, Microsoft being the kind of company they are and what they want to do with the studios they have is really give them the time to make the stuff they want. I think this will be kind of like the test bed for what they kind of are looking for some of their studios going forward, maybe.
I think Microsoft, what they should do, since they have the infinite cakes, that might be the title right there, infinite cakes. That's funny.
I like that.
But anyway, since they have the infinite money bag, I think they need to focus a little bit more specifically with this game on marketing.
Maybe they're gonna start ramping it up. I hope they do. I really want to see mid-April.
I really want to start seeing YouTube ads, Twitch ads, because you gotta think about it. That's where you advertising at now, right? Right.
They'll probably have streamers playing it. Hopefully,
get a pre. What is it? You know, what do they call it? The copies that they give to the people early.
Oh, yeah, like game keys and stuff. Yeah, like pre-release and stuff. I think, or at least hopefully they will. I mean, this game I think should be a big focus for them this year. And, you know, I know we still got the back half of 2024. Who knows what they're going to be working on or showing.
Does it make top 10 this year?
Do I?
Will it be? Well, I mean, I know it's kind of early to say, but do you think it will be a solid contender? Because right now, what do we have? Helldivers.
Final Fantasy VII.
A few other games.
Dragon's Dogma 2.
We don't have to think too hard.
Yeah, but...
But...
I'll say this much. I think this game has the potential to be the best game that's come out of Xbox in a long time. Like, just out of the box. I mean, because you really had... I mean, last year was a decent year for them. You know, you still had stuff like a Hi-Fi Rush, but you know, we're still looking for like those consistent AAA hitters, and I feel like Hellblade 2 could be that for them. Now, if it makes it through the top 10, I don't know, because I think the year started off so strong, man, and even though like currently
we're having another 2023,
yeah, you know, some people would consider this like a down year in terms of releases. I mean, yes, of course. You know, there's the whole industry reshaping thing, people losing their jobs and stuff is awful. But I think, like, when you're just talking about just quality of the games, big or small, I mean, because, you know, just like you said, Helldivers 2, nobody really thought was going to blow up the way it did. But I think it has some stiff competition, man. I think it's going to make some lists. I think it's going to make a couple of lists. I do.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, Xbox need a Helldivers moment. That's what I'm looking for. Like a game that just comes out of nowhere. People not really, because nobody, like no one even really knew what Helldivers 1 was until 2 came out.
That's
so
very true.
We need that. I feel like Xbox really need that moment where a game comes out of left field and just blows everybody's mind. And I think, as much as I feel like Hellblade 2 will move the needle in the right direction, I'm not giving that knockout punch yet. I'm not feeling it just yet. But who knows? And maybe I'm wrong, but
Let's not forget too, Xbox still has a couple other things coming out this year that's under their umbrella. Stalker 2 is supposed to be coming out in September. And I'm going to keep mentioning Stalker because I want to play the trilogy that's on Game Pass. I need to download it. But I think this should be the game, I think, that would be the successful test bed for what they're kind of looking for from their studios. At least I hope it is, man. You know, because we've heard the reports that they are very lenient when it comes to decisions being made, good or bad, you know, Redfall. But I got hope for Ninja Theory, man. I'm right there with you. Like, I think they're a good studio. I think they know like the kind of things that they want to do and the things they want to make. And I think this game is, you know, especially the only thing that I think that might trip people up that we haven't talked about yet is like the puzzles in the game. You know, that's the one thing I think that kind of, If that's that's something I had to bring up as a
I got stuck on
inherent
a
negative, yeah. I a lot of those puzzles from the first game were pretty freaking difficult.
I try not to use YouTube or anything like that, but there were a few puzzles I got stuck on and I was like, yo, what in the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
It reminded me of the puzzles that was on, what was that game, that Xbox exclusive that came out maybe 2-3 years ago? That weird slimy game.
Oh,
that's why I stopped playing that.
I know what
shit,
you're talking
man.
About. But yeah, you know, like puzzles, because I think I enjoy puzzles in games. I feel like I'm pretty decent at them, but those were just, I think they were just kind
of
bordering on
absolutely
unfun.
No sense. Yeah. Like, once I looked them up, I was like, how did they expect me to figure this out?
Yeah.
But I would say I agree with you a little bit on that one. Yeah, some of the puzzles could be a little setback. I would say make them a little more coherent, it was just some very strange puzzles that I was like, you got those puzzles without cheating, looking up on YouTube, you might be a little psychopath. They're a psychopath. I'm just going to say it.
I mean, because there's going to be puzzles in the second game, and I think, I don't know, I hope it's not one of those situations where people will not give the game a chance because of that.
It's not that much of a part of the game,
yeah,
so to speak. Like, there's puzzles in there, but yeah, I mean, you might be right. Like, don't OD with the puzzles. Don't go overboard.
Right.
And I think they'll be fine. I think because they did increase like the combat, so that's a positive. And I think everything that they're adding is not just to be adding. It feels like everything kind of makes sense, and it gels with part one. Like, she's growing from part one to two, she's growing, so it seemed like, yeah, she's going to be a little more like involved in combat now, and I feel like they have a good pace with the game. Like, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be Devil May Cry crazy combo combat, you know what I'm saying, because it don't fit her character. Like, if she came out and started doing that, then I'm like, yo, we already got like games like Stellar Blade and stuff coming out, so you know.
Oh man, people are really excited for that one, huh?
Oh man. I almost made that a topic for today, actually.
We can talk about it. We can talk about Stellar Blade.
From Hellblade to Stellar Blade.
I'm
gonna
be honest, man. Like,
we can
I
call
haven't
this the
really
Blade Show.
So is it like a action I don't know. Oh, I haven't really been watching.
Bayonetta got beat up.
I've just been seeing people talk about, you know, the model of the character, and I haven't seen anything about the game. Tell me what it is.
So the gist of it is, it's a very simple story. Aliens take over Earth.
Uh-huh.
We're in outer space, whatever, and they send down teams. Basically, we're trying to get Earth back.
So is it like JRPG, or is it just
an action
RPG?
Whatever Bayonetta was, it's an action game. It's just an action game. You go down there, it's a hack and slash, whoop some ass type game.
Okay.
From what I've seen, this is my thing. I don't want to judge it too soon, because what I witnessed in the beginning of the game, what they showed, like the playthrough, they have a 20-minute playthrough that you can watch. And I don't think the 20-minute playthrough did it justice in my eyes, because everything looks kind of basic and stiff, but I feel like it's one of those games where as you progress, I believe it's sort of like a skill tree or whatnot. Like, you get, you know, you can get more moves, different types of weapons and stuff, because
I got you,
because in the beginning the combat looked real basic, and it's to the point where she gets overran and she has to run away. Like, it's part of the story. So I feel like as she progressed through the story, things will get better. But what I saw, I was like, I was a little shaky on it. But I was, our friend Darkstar, you know, I don't know if he's in the chat, but he was like, yeah, they showed different parts where it looked really cool and like she was moving around doing a lot. So I don't want to judge it too soon, but being a fan of Bayonetta, I'm definitely going to be watching it, because Bayonetta It was the same thing. They said the same thing when Bayonetta first came out. It was like, oh my God, look at her body, blah, 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 blah. The whole, you know.
But, and I just think it's really interesting that it really kind of started hitting those Bayonetta comparisons, man. That was a game series that I wish would have gotten a better shake. You know what I mean? Especially, what was it, Bayonetta 3 only coming out on the Switch, which was unfortunate.
Bayonetta 3 was forgettable anyway, in my opinion. So,
dude, what was
I
your
think 1 and 2 was yeah. great.
So 3 1 and
was
2
kind of like
are you
3 it seemed like they were trying to transfer it over to a new character. There was a new character in 3 that I did not like. It was like she had this Rhea Ripley type vibe. I don't know what was going on, but I didn't too much gel with the new characters that they were trying to introduce in part 3. But 1 and 2 to me is a classic. Like the over the top Bayonetta was just so over the top in everything, like from her doing her little what I call special moves or whatever, with her hair transforming into demons and eating shit. Like it was just so, but it was fun. It was like so ridiculous. Like she got rocket launchers attached to her high heels. Like come on, this is just getting ridiculous.
Wasn't it like a thing where you could change out like the weapons on her heels? Like you could have like one be a rocket, one be a gun or something. Yeah,
she had like she starts off with a revolver type gun attached to her heels, and then you can get different pieces to put on there, and you get a whip, rocket launcher, you get all types of like little cool weapons, and you could string some of the most outrageous
that's
combos.
Really cool.
Like
that,
yeah,
man,
so
that,
it was like
that's cool.
It used the Devil May Cry kind of like combo system, you know. But
I was just gonna say that, man, I miss having those kind of like
stylish
action RPG type games. I mean, you know, Devil May Cry is definitely one of those series that I think it doesn't really get enough praise, you know. And
I don't even think the new Devil May Cry was bad with the beautiful emo guy.
People just didn't like the way he looked. And honestly, like, you know, one series I've been petitioning Capcom to come back with that, like, speaking of action RPGs, is Onimusha. You know, I don't know if you've ever played, you know, Onimusha.
I'm familiar with it. I haven't played it, but I know what you're talking about.
Man, like, I really would love to see a modern take on that that series. I mean, excuse me, because they had, what was it, DMC 6 come out, 5 or 6, come out a year or two ago, and that game actually sold really well. I think there's a place in the industry, I think, still for those kind of games to sell well, too. I mean, hell, look at, and I know you're going to hate when I say this. I already know you're going to hate it.
Oh, God.
But no. I want Dragon Ball Z Sparking Zero to do well, because those types of games, we don't get those anymore.
Yeah, let's be clear. I think after a few talks on the internet, like,
it's a power fantasy.
I always try, like, I'm on a spiritual growth. No, I'm on a spiritual growth here, right? I try to, it's not about yucking other people's yum, all right? Yucking yam, whatever it's called.
No, you said it right. You said it right.
Oh. But I'm trying to put myself into people's eyes. Like, because apparently, just because I don't like something, like, I have to kind of, I try to stop myself from doing that. Like, just because you don't like it doesn't validate, like, it being total. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm like, I look at it like this. There's a large fan base for the Dragon Ball games that I don't too much like.
I'm raising my hand because I'm a part of that fan base.
No, it has, but I'm trying to look at it like this, right? Yeah. I'm trying not to be combative. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, there's a reason why these people like these games, whether it's nostalgia, power trips, or whatever you want to call it. It's just not for me. So, and I thought about it too. I was talking about this on Discord and Twitter and stuff. I was like, you know what? I might just buy it for the hell of it. I might just buy for the hell of it and play it. Who knows? Who knows what'll come out of it, right? But it's just like, I don't know, man. It's just like, I'm just trying not to, like, first of all, I try to take the personal aspect out of it.
No, for sure.
Take that out of the argument. Like, okay, there's a big group of people who like this game, then there's just you. So maybe you're the problem.
I mean, think about it like this, man. Like, it's like I said, for me, like, we've talked about Dragon Ball Z. countless times, you know, because you're at the point now where you're ready to see it done, finito, finished forever. And I kind of look at it like this, right? You know, look at your interest in Boruto, right? You know that the story itself may not match up to the original series, whether that's Shippuden or the original Naruto, right? But you still get some sort of enjoyment out of it, whether that...
Hey, man, Boruto is my personal train wreck.
It's like, okay? Your guilty pleasure. And everyone has,
it's just
like...
so... It's so bad, it's good.
You know what I mean? That's how I kind of look at these type of games, right?
Starship Troopers?
Oh, no, Starship Troopers is an amazing sci-fi show, movie series.
Greatest sci-fi of all time.
No, if you guys haven't seen the animated films, you need to watch them. Anyway, I grew up playing like the Budokai series and everything, man. And you know, I think that this is the close, because I never played like the Xenoverse games or any of those. I think by that time I was kind of done playing those, you know, kind of Dragon Ball games. But I think these are cool Sparking Zero is gonna be cool. Because, like I said, you're fulfilling that real power fantasy. Like, you know, you get in the destructible environments. That kind of stuff you didn't have as a kid. Or, you know, you didn't really have the big arena to, you know, have the beam clash. And, you know.
It's the same thing. Like, you know, I just don't want to put this on. I just don't want to put this on Dragon Ball's back.
No, for
sure. It's games in that genre. Because you talking to a guy who still got them. Like, I have all the Naruto.
Oh, man, Ultimate Ninja Storm games.
I have the original Naruto game on 360.
Nice.
Like, it's all those games to where it's pretty much retelling the story just in video game form. Yeah. So it's almost, to me, I look at those games like video game movies, like video games based off of a movie.
I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. It's a... They are the equivalent of direct to DVD movies.
Right. So, like, when I talk about this, I don't want to just put all focus on Dragon Ball. No. It's like, because I don't like the Naruto games either. Like, any game where you're, like, you just punching and then both characters fly back and then you charging up before he gets up and rush towards you. You're trying to get your charge meter up to do your Kamehameha or Rasengan or whatever it is, whatever game, because who you call it just came out with a game like that. I want to say Jujutsu Kaisen kind of came out with a similar game.
Yeah, there was a Jujutsu Kaisen like beat 'em up.
And who you call it? My Hero Academia had the same type of kick punch special, but they just did it in a battle royale format. It was just like,
I heard the Battle Royale was actually pretty decent. Is it? I don't know if it's still around or not, but yeah.
It's a small group of people. I see people playing it on Twitch. It's a small group. They just put it in a Battle Royale format. And to be honest with you, it didn't look too bad. It seemed like people were having fun with it. Yeah. I never tried it out. But, you know, it's a long list of anime, like, games.
Anime
beat-em-ups
type shit, yeah.
I think those games are more or less like collectibles.
Sure.
I think people just, because they still have the story, most of them have like the original arc or story, and like I know the first couple of Naruto games, all it did was cover like, you know, certain arcs. And then even like the original, like first couple of Dragon Ball games was like the retelling of Dragon Ball Z like 600 times. Yeah. Like, we know this story. And then that's why I kind of respected it was one, I forgot the name of it. Like you said, you can create your own character and kind of create your own story. And one of my friends is really big into the Dragon Ball fighting games. And we literally sat on the phone and argued for like 4 hours. Like, he was really selling me on this game. Like, yo, they need to pay that man a check, because he was
I think, man, and I know I made the direct to DVD joke, but I really feel like there's just something about that genre of games that, and I don't know if you feel like this, right? Like, and maybe if I'm like looking too far out of it, but like when it comes to like anime nowadays, I feel like anime is at the point that comic books were in the early 2000s, that they were trying to break in to mainstream media through like movies, TV shows, and games. You know, you're starting to have like a lot of your live action TV shows and movies based off of anime series. Yeah, because it's
mainstream now.
Yeah, you know, and you're starting to see kind of more of these games. And I don't know if people feel like that's the only genre that anime games belong to, because that's really all you get. You either get that or you get like a traditional JRPG version of an anime game, or you get a pachinko version of it, to be quite honest, like a gambling version, like what's it called, Dragon Ball,
or the little card game,
right? Or you get a card game, you know, a la Yu-Gi-Oh or Pokemon. I feel like that, I don't know, like I think that, you know, if that game turns out to be successful, which I feel like it will, because, you know, it's Dragon Ball, right? Like we just talked about, you know, RP, you know, to the go, to Kira, man, like we just talked about him passing and how he is, you know, really changed and affected all of media. You know, maybe other anime and manga games or IP are starting to look at that like we want a piece of that pie too. I don't know. That's what I kind of
think. But see, this is my problem, right? This is my problem. With those type of games, I just feel like it's a little cash grabby, because you like take this format that's been done a billion times. That's one of the reasons why I love Dragon Ball FighterZ so much, was because it was so left field. I remember when it was announced, everyone thought it was going to be that same arena style, you know, typical anime fighter. Like, but then when people found out like it was 2D, as details rolled out, people were like, what? And then when they first showed it, people was like, oh shit, like, this looked crazy. And I'm not saying that every anime moving forward has to copy Dragon Ball FighterZ formula, but let's try something different than the, or you know, the arena kick, kick, punch, charge.
Nah, I mean, I agree with you on the Dragon Ball FighterZ tip, man. I mean, it, you know, they hit it.
I thought more games would do that.
Yeah. I mean, the way that they came in with the tag team fighter, I think, was pretty ingenious. The only thing I hate about the game that, you know, people know me, is the auto combos.
I'm going to agree with you already.
You know, that's the only thing I think that was key, because you don't really have that versus style tag team fighter much anymore. You know, now that Marvel versus Capcom is essentially dried up. But, I mean, I would love to see like a Naruto game in the style of this, or a, you know, Jujutsu Kaisen or Bleach or whatever, you know, like some of the more popular series, like I think could do well. You know, anime fighters are already popular in the fighting game community.
You can even do like a Tekken style. If they did it like they made like Jujutsu Kaisen was like in the Tekken's world, as far as
that
like
would
graphics
be fire,
and,
actually. Yeah, I like that.
You could do that instead of like keep repeating the same formula. And I'm going to say something very controversial here. I'm going to say something crazy. And I forgot what it was. But let's get it.
I was going to say, go for it. Go for it.
It'll come back to me. Oh, no, it's back. I, with the introduction of auto combos, what is it on Street Fighter VI?
Modern controls, yeah.
I'm going to say something, and I know people are not going to like it, and that's fine. I don't like, and I'm a casual fighter, I do not like it. I feel like fighting games should not be catered toward casuals. I'm going to say it.
Ooh.
Like, if you want to fight, learn how to fight. Play to win. I'm sorry if it offends. Hit me up on Twitter. I personally do not like, everything does not have to cater to casuals. I'm a casual,
say that. I don't necessarily, like, disagree with that.
Dog, if you like, there's no auto combos in chess. To play chess and be good at it, you got to learn. You got to sit down. You got to put in the work. You got to put in the hours. You got to play. Certain sports games, there's no like, oh, in 2K, like, you know, there's no auto crossover spin move fadeaway 3. You know what I'm saying? You got to learn how to do that. So in my fighting games, I personally feel like there's no place for it. All these games now are getting systems like that. Like, auto combos, and they got them in Tekken. They got them in everything now. Every fighting game has them now.
And shout out to the boys in chat, Winnie and Darkstar, man. I'm gonna bring. We're gonna talk about that Hunter x Hunter Arena Fighter here in a second, or that fighter. Hold on, but when it comes to that particular subject you were talking about, DC, man, I'm very I'm split on it because I know the reason why they do stuff like that nowadays. You know, like you want to try to bring in as many new people as possible. I think one good solution would be to have more robust training options for people to learn how to play the game. I mean, I think
church.
I mean, you talk about like you mentioned like Tekken. Like Tekken has probably the best like training room I think I've seen in a modern like fighting game period. You know, from the ability to like rewind and do all that. Like, it's a tough thing with fighting games, man. It really is, because I always feel like fighting games are just gonna really sit in this, you know, grassroots part of the industry. I don't want to say like niche part of the industry, but you know, it's just, you know, a lot of people don't want to spend the time. It's just like what Darkstar just said in chat, right? Like a lot of people don't want to spend the time to learn how to get good at something, you know, much less a fighting game. You know, it takes a very special breed of person to literally slam their head into a wall, hoping to break through to the other side. And I think that's the beautiful thing about fighting games that a lot of people don't appreciate. And that's why a lot of the arcade, you know, the more arcadey ones are successful. You know, your Ninja Storms, your Budokais. There was a Shonen Jump one. What was that one called? Where it like mixed all of like.
Don't you bring that Jump Force shit.
That's
back.
What it was.
Don't you? We buried that.
Jump
okay?
Force was terrible. That's something you should never do, no matter what.
Oh my god, we buried that. Why did you say it? It's like, know, Beetlejuice.
Jump Force was so terrible. The graphics were awful, but
Jump Ass.
You know, jump Sorry. Jump. Sorry. It was such a bad game, and I really feel like, I don't know. Like I hope we, you know, that is to say, man, I really do hope we start to get more like kind of like action RPGs, or I know a lot of
fighting game. Yeah. What if you made your own arc and it was a story?
Well, I was gonna say, like, people, like, you look at what people are doing to Rise of the Ronin right now. They're kind of shitting on the game. You know, I kind of look at that like a more action focused game. You know, mm-hmm. But people don't seem to be as receptive to it as they were as to, you know, Dragon's Dogma, which is unfortunate, man. So, but that game was dog shit.
I tried not to read that because it made me laugh.
That game is awful, man. You know,
yeah. Please. Just say this, like, put it like this, like, what if it wasn't a fighting game? Like, say, take Demon Slayer.
Sure.
What if it was like a non-canonical, like non-canon? You create a story,
or you're in a different era from the main.
And maybe it's like a hack and slash. You know what I'm saying? You're running around. You're fighting different things, and you know, maybe it doesn't always have to be a fighting game. Like, well, if they did something like that, you know what I'm saying?
That's what I mean. But I don't know, man. It's tough to like market those type of games. Like, I think that
is true. That's very true.
They know what people want, what the weebs want, and that's usually what's the one game out that's right now that everyone's playing? They've been playing for a few years now. Gosh, man. It's based on like a gacha game. Oh my gosh, what is it called?
I'm drawing a blank.
It's in like the style of Breath of the Wild, but it's like a JRPG. I can't remember. Genshin. Thank you, chat. Genshin,
which is
Impact.
Actually fun. I just didn't have time for it.
I hear it's very fun, but you know, you look at that has a bunch of gacha elements in it, a bunch of monetization, microtransaction stuff.
It's actually pretty dope.
Yeah,
I'll say that. I played it for like a week, just to check it out. And I could see where, you know how sometimes you could play a game and you could see where the fun can be had. Like, you're like, oh, I see why people like this. Yeah. One of my friends, she was actually addicted to it for like a long time. I need to check on her and make sure that she ain't still in that rabbit hole.
Those things do really well, I think. You know, I like I said, man, I think that anime as a whole is really at this point where it's slowly breaking into like mainstream pop culture. Like, it's always kind of been there. You know, we
I don't even think slowly.
Let me not say that because whenever there's like a big anime episode or something that's trending, you know, a cool fight or action scene, the internet does kind of blow up. I mean, yeah, I think we're at that point now where maybe we'll start to see more of the action RPGs, or at least I hope so anyway. So Yeah, man. That is to say, guys, we hope that Hellblade 2 is going to be great. We're going to talk about it either way.
Stellar Blade.
Yeah, and Stellar Blade. You know, if you're into that kind of thing.
Dual Blades.
No judgment from me. Yeah, man, I think that's a good place to wrap her, man. We almost hit an hour, too, talking about a whole lot of nothing. So
it comes natural, man, yeah. When you're talking about things that you're interested in. Yeah, right?
We actually love the shit we talk about, man. I appreciate you guys being here, man. But yeah, I think that's going to wrap her and dapper, man. Thank you guys for hanging out for episode 185 of Super Weapon Podcast, man. We're into April. First podcast of April. Yeah, first one of the month. So,
and I want to tell you this real quick. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, my bad.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
We're retiring April Fools. Just throwing that out there. All right.
Oh, man, I wish. I just staffed the internet that day.
Y'all not funny. Y'all trash. Your jokes are trash. Just throwing that out there. You're trash.
But yeah, man, I appreciate you guys for being here, man. I don't really got much this week, man. I'm kind of low energy. Like I said, it's been a pretty long week. But, you know, hopefully things will turn around and we will continue to move forward, man. I appreciate you guys being here. You guys can find me everywhere. Darius the Artist, twitch.tv/DariusTheArtist, YouTube, Darius the Artist. Find me on Twitter/X, Darius the Artist, where the E is a 3. And I'll let DC go ahead. Take us home, man.
I'm feeling the same way. I'm a little low energy, but I'm going to make this outro hype. Our audio listeners, I was doing something kind of strange, but
yeah. I wasn't gonna stop you.
I was there, man. I was feeling the pump. Wait, hold on, never mind. Oh, y'all didn't hear that. We're Jesus. Gonna edit that out. That was awful.
Jesus,
anyway, Jesus. Yeah, I just want to leave with this little nugget. Hey, man, life is tough. Cereal is soggy, rain is wet, but you know what we gonna do? We going to keep on pushing, baby. We going to play these games. We going to have some fun. Thanks to everyone that stopped by in the chat. We love our chatters. So if you're listening to the audio version, please feel free to come on over to twitch.tv/DariusTheArtist and join us in the chat. We love an active chat, man. We love to have you guys. Just don't come over here with foolishness because we will block you. Anyway, we're going to play some video games. We're going to make the best of this Saturday. We're going to recover from our long week. And you know what's the best way to get rid of stress after a long week? Get even more stressed out by playing Helldivers.
Oh my God.
Let's go.
Thank you guys for hanging out, man. It's going to be in the audio version. We will see you guys later. Peace.